and welcome to the New Homeowner Podcast. In the last few episodes, we discussed the pre-drywall meeting and locking in your interest rate. Today, we'll be talking about the final building phase of your home. In this phase, the pace really picks up. There's a lot going on, and your house is really going to start looking like your future home. And later in the episode, our guest has a fantastic tip. The time is finally here, you guys. You can finally do something that almost every homeowner wants to do. I'm excited to hear what that is. Amy and Kelsey, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome How are back ya? To the show. I'm good. I had a busy weekend. It was my grandmother's 90th birthday.
Wow.
So we flew down to, she lived in Sarasota and had like a surprise party for her. It was really fun. She was totally, totally surprised. Have you ever had a surprise party or been to one?
I've been to a surprise party, but they're so not my thing personally.
You wouldn't want to be surprised?
Never.
Kelsey, cancel that idea I had.
It's so funny. My mom threw me a surprise sweet 16. And I don't know if you guys remember that show from back in the day.
Of course.
It was along those lines.
Okay.
But maybe like, you know, a toned down version. I was equally happy and excited and also mortified. So.
I don't remember the show. Maybe I just didn't watch it, or because I'm a guy, it wasn't
I think it was MTV back in the day. So
Sweet 16. I do remember that show.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm even bringing that up.
Yeah. It brings back good memories, actually.
Yeah. It was funny because I was sort of the MC of the event. They're like, you have a good voice. You should do it.
We're shocked.
But then they were like, well, also like figure out the logistics of the surprise, like when to tell everybody. And I was like, there's like old people here. What are we going to jump up out of this? So we had to figure all this out. And they were like, well, she'll see us. I was like, don't worry. She won't see you and she can't hear you. So you're going to have to be right in her face to surprise her.
That's a lot of pressure.
But she loved it. She loved it. Kelsey, how's your house? Well, they're not building yet. I assume you're still in the quiet phase, or you're still ironing out financial stuff.
Yeah, we're still kind of in that same period that we were last time we caught up. So I'm particularly interested in this episode because, you know, we've talked about the framing and, you know, that's exciting because it's like it's finally started. It's coming to life. But I'm very much looking forward to this next step where it's like, wow, here are all my selections. I can visualize everything. It's really feeling real now. So, yeah, a little bit of ahead of ourselves in the process. So
have you packed even one box?
Absolutely not.
Come on. I started like the second I signed, I was like, I'm going to pack one box a week.
And that's how I operate, too.
One a week,
oh,
I did it.
Oh, boy. Wow. I need to step my game up. Nope.
This is a good time to welcome our special guest today, David. Welcome.
Thank you, Jason.
I see you nodding your head about the box packing one a week strategy. Is that
you? Exactly. That is crucial because when you get to the end and you have all those boxes to pack, that can really be a mind boggler as you're coming down to the final wire.
I feel like when you pack at the very end, there's always like a closet or a drawer where you're like, what the heck? Where did this come from? It just never ends. There's always one more thing to pack. It's just incredible. So, David, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of background. You're a special assignments manager.
I am.
I'm curious to know what that role does, honestly.
Yes. But, yep. So, just kind of starting back in the beginning, I started with Ryan Homes about 5 years ago in 2016 when I graduated from college. And then I went into the production supervisor role, did that for a little while, and then was promoted to project manager. And I was a project manager for a while, and I recently was promoted to a special assignments manager in our office. And a special assignments manager is essentially just random projects that need to go on within the division, whether it's master filing plans with the county and kind of more of that back end stuff that, again, folks feel like there's not a lot going on before the build process of their home. I'm kind of working on that stuff as well.
So customers won't interact with you directly, but you were a PJM or a project manager and a project manager for several years. So I'm excited to pick your brain about what we're talking about today, which is the next phase. So we had the pre-drywall meeting. Obviously, I'm guessing the next phase is let's put some drywall in.
Exactly. I mean,
start to walk us through that. Are the guys there with the drywall sheets like the next day or what's going on?
They are, yeah. So depending on when your pre-drywall meeting lies, it can happen when you have insulation in the home or just a little bit earlier. We try to shoot for around that insulation period. So if we're shooting for that, then yeah, literally next day you're having your insulation inspected. And then after that, you're going to go ahead and have drywall.
I forgot about the insulation. So when they do the pre-drywall, when they're looking around, the insulation's not in yet or it is?
It depends on kind of the build process. We try to schedule it for typically around that insulation time. So it could be when it's in, it could be the day of the insulation inspection, or if the schedule got bumped a little bit, it could be a little bit earlier as well.
So drywall, is that something that needs to sit and acclimate in the house? Is that already in the house somewhere?
So it does get delivered on the day of the insulation inspection, but it's not something that needs to acclimate okay. for
I've heard that a couple with days. Like wood floors or something, sometimes that has to happen. So what else is happening? We get the drywall in. Is that the only trade in the house at that point?
It is. Yep. So the drywall phase lasts about 5 days or so. So the first day, like you're saying, the guys are there. They're waiting to hang the drywall boards. And then they go through kind of the finishing processes of the drywall. So they're going to put the joint compound on the walls and really get it ready for that final sanding and then that first prime or that first paint. So after that first paint, that's when we go into the trim and all of those sorts of things inside the home.
And there's a drying period in between and sanding. There's a lot of dust happening during drywall. That's all I know from any renovation I've ever done. I was like, okay, get ready for the dust.
There
it's
is.
True.
Fortunately, with your new house, it doesn't matter yet because you don't have anything in your house yet.
Exactly. And we clean it quite a bit as well throughout the process. But yep, so there's a dry day in there and then they go in, they're going to sand it and paint it. And then again, it's start to install your trim.
Does the weather factor into this in terms of humidity or rain or if it's freezing cold or does it matter?
It can. Yep. So of course, in the wintertime, it can be pretty cold. So that's when we'll try to get some heaters inside to try to warm it up. We typically want that temperature to be somewhere in the 50s and 60s if we can to allow the guys to be able to work. One, just for comfort. And then two, obviously, as well, just to make sure that the drywall compound is curing on the walls. So yeah, typically in the wintertime, heaters inside. In the summertime, there can be the occasional need for a heater, but typically it's just a little bit too humid. So we want to put some fans in there instead if we really need it.
Right. Now, I'm 6'3", although my wife says I'm 6'2", and I brag a lot, but I would still like to wear those shoes that they wear. There's like extendable.
I was gonna ask about those.
Stilts.
They are
they
amazing
do those things?
On those. Yes, they do.
Okay.
And I always wonder how they stay up on those things.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I feel like that's like robotics of the past that just has stuck around forever. I don't know. Are there any other jobs anywhere in the world where you wear long stilts besides those guys in the parades and stuff?
I think only if you're in the circus.
That's so interesting. Oh, interesting. I guess it's critical for the tall ceilings for them just to reach up there and do all
it
the
is.
Work. Cool.
So who else is working on the home at this stage?
On the inside, it's typically just the drywall crew. We try to leave them to their own devices inside of there, especially when they're on their stilts. We don't want to bump into anybody or anything like that. On the outside, though, there can be a couple different things happening, just depending on what stage we're in on the outside, depending on weather, things like that. Typically, one of the first things that we'll start to do after we go ahead and get our approval to hang drywall is we'll have our siding crew come, or our brick crew or stone crew, depending on what type of facade you have on your home.
So they're happening at the same time, the
exactly.
inside and the outside?
Exactly. Yep.
Nice.
Brick guys. I've seen them sometimes toss 5 or 6 bricks at a time. Is that still how they do it?
That's another marvel.
That's
yep,
crazy.
They'll have the scaffolding up and they'll be set up a couple stories up and the guys will just be tossing it right to them. It's amazing.
I feel like that's a really good workout. Like if I didn't get to the gym, that's what I'd
want
to be doing.
Some great hand-eye coordination.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm so excited to see our siding go up because we kind of took a risk with ours. We went a little darker. I always thought I would have a white house. We went like darkest option. There was no other houses in the neighborhood or in the community that had our siding. So
very bold.
Yeah,
if you did,
very bold, risky. But
awesome.
Yeah, excited to see how it comes together.
It's going
to
look good.
So,
yeah. I think you're going to have neighbors come by like, oh, I love what you guys chose.
Yeah,
so good.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. That's what we all want. Just we want everyone to like wish they had what we had.
Right.
Is that a horrible feeling or what? Well, so drywall, got it. Couple phases. And then what else do we have coming in?
And then we have the trim. And I always tell everybody the trim phase for me is my absolute favorite. That's really when the character of your house is going to come alive. Super exciting. You're going to see your cabinets go in. You're going to see your doors be installed, your baseboard, your door casing, everything inside. It's truly when you get to kind of get to see what your house is going to look like.
And trim goes in before flooring or after?
It does. It goes in before flooring. There are some instances if you're doing like a vinyl floor where we'll put the vinyl floor down first, but typically you're going to do your trim first.
Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about what you as a buyer can do, how you can check in on things, what some stuff you might be noticing. We'll be right back and talk about that.
Hey, homeowners, it's Kelsey with the New Homeowner Podcast. If you ask me, the best neighbors you could have are your friends and family. Send them to ryanhomes.com to get in touch with your community sales team or just to browse local communities in their area. That's ryanhomes.com. Now back to the podcast.
All right, welcome back. We're here with David today, and we're talking about the phase after the pre-drywall meeting. Is there a name for this phase? It's just the building phase, right? I was trying to find it. I was like, I don't think we named this phase anything specifically.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. There's not really a formal name for it. I sometimes will call it kind of like the fit and finish stage of construction because you're kind of piecing everything together, getting your electrical fixtures and final stuff inside.
Yeah. So you mentioned the drywall and then the trim is coming in, cabinets. Have you talked about cabinets yet? We can do that. But, you know, can customers come into the house at this point? What's the usual mode of operation for our customers?
Typically what we want is we want customers to be involved. It's an exciting process and we want them to be involved and be able to be a part of the build process. But what we do ask is if customers want to come inside, just give your project manager a heads up beforehand because there still can be some safety concerns inside at this time, especially if guys are moving cabinets around or flooring, but they're more than welcome to come inside. We really encourage it. Just go ahead and reach out to your project manager and schedule a time to go. Get those extra pictures and everything for your future photo album.
I'm sure your customers came by often, right?
Of course, yes.
I remember when I was selling homes, some of my customers, mostly they did drive-bys because of the scheduling that you're talking about, but I would get to know their cars and know the time of day that they drove by.
Yes, of course.
And their whole routine.
Yep, yep.
It's exciting.
It is. And you really start to feel like kind of not just their project manager, but kind of a part of their life and a part of their family because you're building this house for them. Such a great, exciting thing in the end.
It is.
David, what happens if I come and visit my house and say I notice like a little scratch on a cabinet door?
That's a great question, Kelsey. Typically, that has already been noted by the project manager. Nothing is perfect during construction. The fit and finish stage is really for us to be able to install things. And then what we do is later on in the process, we're going to come back in and fine tune those things afterwards. So just because you see your baseboard installed and your cabinets installed, that doesn't mean it's the last time that we're going to touch it. We're going to be coming back in after we clean the house with another crew that's going to be able to kind of take care of those finishing details. So if it's a scratch cabinet door, taking care of that scratch or replacing it if we need to.
Yeah, I remember you saying we had talked earlier about how that's why it's so important to let your project manager know when you're stopping by because, gosh, if I were to go into the home and notice one little scratch, it might already be under your radar. But if I don't know that, you know, I might go home and feel a certain way,
exactly.
You know, have maybe some anger
anxiety
towards the situation. Exactly. Yeah.
And we don't want that at all. I always tell all my homeowners, you know, I'm there to do that stressing if you see a scratch cabinet door or something like that. If you see it, go ahead and let your project manager know. But 9 times out of 10, they're already going to know about it. But just start that conversation. We always want that open communication, especially if it is something that's going to keep you up at night or something like that. We never want that. It's going to be an exciting build process. We don't want you guys to be stressing about it.
Yeah, it should be exciting and fun, but I do think people underestimate the stress that's happening. Not with a build per se, because you're right. You guys are handling that. But you're going to move from wherever you are to this new place. So you've got packing to do. You've got all this stuff to schedule. It's constantly running in your head what needs to be done. And so something small like a scratch could set you off and you don't even realize like, I'm so upset by this thing. It's going to be fixed anyway. You know, try to let those go and just recognize that you're not starting from your normal baseline self. You're starting at a very elevated point, right? Sort of like I never was a bride, but I'm guessing your wedding day is like, okay, was it Bridezilla's the show where they're like freaking out? It's not because they're bad people. It's just like, this is a very stressful big day, right?
Yeah, it's like anything else in life, though. If you feel upset about something, it's best to communicate about it because you need that sense of resolution.
Exactly. You got it.
I think the quintessential one is like a broken window that's already in the house. And you're like, oh, great, my house is broken, like the whole thing.
Yes, you got it. And a lot of times, too, you'll see in that broken window that the project manager's already made a mark on it, whether it's with spray paint or something like that. A lot of times, the last thing we want to do is have a broken window, like in the framing process, and then replace it in the framing process And then, oh man, it gets broken again. So typically what we'll do is we'll note that broken window. We'll go ahead and order it to like our construction trailer or something like that and kind of safe keep it away. And then once we clean the house and have what we call kind of our technician crew come in, our handyman crew come in, we're going to have them replace that window later on. And same thing goes for the rest of the
stuff. And you can get those pretty quickly. It's not like it's going to be 6 weeks, so we got to get a custom window. We're getting hundreds of thousands of these windows every
day. Yeah. And that's the beauty with Ryan Homes as well. We have our own plant, and our own plant sources things out, such as our Plygem windows. So we have a lot of different people working on the back end to make sure that the parts and pieces are coming together. So we could have a broken window, order it, and then it's in either the next day or the following day.
Yeah, and I know even though you guys are on top of it, just for peace of mind, we also go through several inspections during this process. Can you tell us a little bit more about those different inspections we're going through at this time?
Sure thing. So the last inspection that was talked about, we have our kind of our framing concealment inspection. And then moving along, there's not really too many inspections just during the fit and finish. But then when we get towards the end, there's about, I believe it's about four inspections that happen. So we're going to have a third-party energy inspection. So these are the same folks that came in after we insulated your home. They're going to come in again when we're about 85 to 90% of the way done with construction. They're going to take a look at things. They're going to make sure that your attic is insulated. They're going to go ahead and register your furnace. They're going to just take a look around, make sure that there's no like moisture in the house that shouldn't be there, that sort of thing. And they're also going to do something really cool. They're going to do something called a duct blaster test inside. And this is where they're actually going to blast air through your duct system. And they're going to measure to make sure that there's no leakage that shouldn't be there.
Duct blaster.
The duct blaster.
That sounds like a game I might have played.
I know.
I've seen one of these inspections in person. They're really cool.
They are.
And one of the things people are really surprised by once they get in their new home, literally a new construction home, especially ours, is how efficient they are and how much lower their energy bills can be. We hear it all the time, but I think people are blown away. Even if you used to live in a house from maybe the 80s or early 90s, the construction techniques are completely new now.
They are, yeah. And it's typically super comfortable inside, whether it's summer or winter. And then after that duct blaster inspection, after our third-party energy inspection, once we've kind of cleaned the house and gotten everything ready, we have a crew come in and caulk everything and seal it up. We actually have a final building inspection with whatever municipality that you're building in. So whatever county that is or town, they're going to come in and just make sure that everything is safe inside for somebody to live in. They're going to kind of look at it through the eyes of a homeowner and also just through the eyes of their professional building inspector lens.
Now, at this point, the one thing we didn't talk about, we talked about maybe a scratch or a broken window, but what if I noticed that the wrong thing has been installed in my house, like the wrong flooring or, hey, that wasn't the appliance that we had ordered. What's going on there?
Great question, Jason. So typically, kind of like I was saying before, 9 times out of 10, the project manager has already noticed that. And again, there's a lot of processes in place. We have our selection and acknowledgement report at the start of construction that we review with homeowners as well. That gets sent out to our subcontractors. But if there is the time where, let's say, a wrong appliance was installed or something like that, again, just bring it up to your project manager. It may be that the appliance that they had purchased wasn't in stock, and they put a different one in for now to just test things out inside the home, and the other one's coming later. Or there could just be a backstory to it. So just be open if you see it. Definitely don't let that swell up.
Yeah, I think communication is a key theme that we're seeing in all the phases.
Yeah.
And one, with your project manager, just saying, hey, I noticed this. And they'll say, okay, no problem. Yep, we noticed that too. But also with your partner, if you're buying with someone else, they might not have heard that conversation, and you may not have emailed, you know, every single detail about what you talked about when they came by. So, you know, you get home and you're like, hey, by the way, they have the wrong fridge, but it's no big deal. David's taking care of it. They'll have the other one in a week or so.
Absolutely.
That just happened to my husband and I. We did some renovations in our home, and we work different hours. So I go to work earlier than him. I come home earlier than him. And sometimes I'd come home and what I was expecting to see wasn't 100% right. And I would call him panicking and say, something's wrong here. And he'd say, I already talked to Nasser, the contractor, about that. I just forgot to tell you. So do you have any tips for people when it comes to that kind of misunderstanding?
Again, just communicate, whether it's with your spouse or your partner or whoever it is. That open communication, and maybe even think about just calling the project manager together when you guys are at a point where you can do that. Just so you guys can make sure that you're getting the same information. And it's not like a game of telephone where it's kind of getting lost in translation.
Yeah, our contractor caught on to that issue and started texting us together to recap conversations they had had so I could have visibility.
Yep. And another thing, too, is kind of exactly what you're saying. If you talk to your project manager, maybe just shoot an email as well and kind of copy whoever it is that you're building with at that time. So that way you guys can always stay in the loop.
Yeah, that was helpful for us just to get on the same text thread. For some reason, we had separate ones going on or the same email thread. Very helpful. So the inspections happen, they go through. And like you said, there's a lot of people that are double checking work from the county to the energy guys to ourselves using our own quality inspection. When you were just starting as a PJM, was this like a test for you? Is this like, okay, how many things did I miss and didn't see?
Oh my goodness, of course. Yeah.
So it's nice to have that back. I mean, at some point, somebody's going to be new. We have a lot of very experienced PJMs, but sometimes you get somebody that's new. But our systems are designed to make sure that the new person's build is just as good as the person who's been building for 10 years.
Exactly. You got it. And I know that it was said in a previous episode, too. There's so many eyes on each house during construction. Not only if you have a production supervisor on the site, but your project manager. And then there's the senior project manager and then their production manager as well. All kind of have eyes on the site and inside the home, a lot of different resources to make sure that the houses are getting built correctly.
And since I've been packing ahead of time, David, and the inspections are done, is it cool if I just throw a few things in the garage or maybe get some stuff installed?
Great question. We ask that folks, please do not do that. One of the main reasons is just a liability concern. The last thing we ever want is for somebody to put their new stuff inside, whether it's a new couch or even some old stuff that might have some sentimental value. And then that stuff get damaged because we're working up until the last minute of construction. Up until that day of settlement, we're cleaning the home, we're power washing it, we're just making sure that everything is fine-tuned. So the last thing we want is for something to get damaged.
What if I don't care if it gets damaged? What if I'm like, roll the dice here, let's put it in the garage?
We still want to hold back from that. We really just don't want anything to happen to it in case that there's some issue at settlement and it's going to take a couple extra days or something like that.
Well, and I think legally we need a certificate of occupancy.
We do.
This is the final document that says someone can live here. And if you're putting your stuff in a house, you may not be sleeping there, but you're starting to live there.
Yep.
And so we do follow the law. We want to make sure that we're doing that.
Yeah, the last thing we want is to make the building inspector mad.
That is the last thing we want. So you'll have to just wait. And I was definitely one of those people because my house was within walking distance of our other house. I was like, well, I can just ride my bike over there and like pull this wagon with some stuff and get started here. I was so anxious to get going. How about things like, you know, not stuff, but what about internet setup or, you know, cable? Can the guy come in and just hook that up?
So they can't come inside of the home. We still want to wait for that. What I tell everybody to do is if their settlement is on a Monday, schedule all that stuff for the Tuesday following. So that way you give yourself a little bit of a buffer. If the schedule or if the settlement runs a little longer or something like that, or gets moved to a later part of the day. We definitely don't want those folks inside though, because again, they can get hurt or something can get messed up inside. We want to make sure that we're turning over exactly what we built in 100% complete. And there's not like a scratch from the guy that came in and installed something later on.
You want to know who's been in the house.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So at the beginning of the show, we mentioned this tip, something that almost every homeowner wants to do, can't do for a while, but during this phase they can do. Let's talk about that.
A really important tip is this is a great time to reach out to your project manager to make sure that you can measure for your blinds. I know everybody wants blinds inside. Nobody wants to live too long with open windows. So the best time to do this is really going to be after your house is cleaned, because we don't want to do it too early in the construction process because there's still some rounds of drywall work that are being done, some trim work, and we don't want that to affect the measurement of the windows inside. We want you to get that perfect measurement so that way your blinds fit well when you get them installed.
Amy, how many years did you have temporary blinds? Or were you one of those immediate?
Oh, not years, just a couple weeks.
Okay.
I was one of those people anxious to measure, although we don't want you purchasing the blinds right away.
Yes.
We've talked about that with a few people who came in from the mortgage side, but you can be prepared to place that order as soon as you settle.
Exactly.
Yeah, hold off on charging any large credit card purchases for blinds or furniture until you settle.
Yeah, I actually already have a PowerPoint visual
of course.
about three different rooms in my future home, knowing that I can't bite the bullet on anything until after we settle. But
that's awesome. I'd love to see that.
I'm happy to share.
I'm sure my neighbors loved it, but my first townhouse, I was dirt poor, a house poor, not poor. I just bought a house, but I wasn't spending a dime on blinds. So it was the old sheet with push pins, and it was a green sheet.
Been there.
Oh, boy.
And my mom came to visit once. She's like, you can't do that. This is like a real place, not a college town. So I had to go out and buy some of those temporary paper ones. Those actually don't look too bad. From the street, you can't tell that they're paper.
Well,
oh, you guys are shaking your head. No, they look bad. All right. So you're saying I should get some real blinds. I'll work on that. Anything we missed?
I don't think so. I mean, I think there's so many different parts and pieces that are happening during this kind of phase of construction. Things are really going to feel like they're moving fast, especially once drywall is hung. You have your trim, you've got your electrical fixtures, your flooring, a bunch of different rounds of drywall and paint, not just that beginning round after insulation. So have fun with it. You know, ask your project manager if you want to go inside, get some extra pictures, or ask them to take those for you, because you're really going to want those after construction as well, so you can remember back on how exciting it was.
Yeah, I still have all of our photos, and I do look at them. It's really fun to remember how excited it was to see, like, the base trim or the flooring is in, and sharing that with your friends and family. So you mentioned that, you know, before our show, before we started recording, is just don't sweat the small stuff.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean don't worry about it ever, or don't bring it up. It just means don't let it invade your day to day to the point where you no longer can have fun because you're trying to manage all this stuff that's happening. That is why we have the project manager.
Exactly.
Great. Thank you for being here, David. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
In our next episode, we're going to be talking about the new home orientation. It's finally here. You're getting close to the end. We still have a few more steps to go, but this house is definitely going to be yours very, very soon. So be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay in the loop with future episodes. And you can also visit us at newhomeowner.com to submit any questions or topics for future episodes. If you have a friend that's in the market for a new home, share this podcast with them. I'm sure they'd want to know, how does the new build process work? A lot of people that I meet and say they do new construction, they've never heard of it. Their family's never bought new construction. But there's some big advantages to new versus used. And I think the podcast can help people understand how it works and sort of demystify it quite a bit. And then have them visit ryanhomes.com and they can browse communities in their area. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.